On the Other Hand, by Braver Angels, Arkansas.
Glenn, today we have the second part of our conversation with Ryan Norris of Americans for Prosperity in Arkansas. I am so excited to hear what else he has to say because there are so many things that he said in the first part of our interview that just made me motivated to continue doing the quote that he mentioned by Frederick Douglass, to continue doing that, to work with anyone to do good and no one to do harm. He is such a great representative of that. So let's get right into the second part of this interview.
I think what you're getting at is a really important point that I keep thinking about when we're doing this kind of work. There needs to be a balance between values that both may be legitimate but sometimes compete with each other, and that's exactly what you were talking about. You have the tenants on one side who I think most people would argue have a legitimate right to have some safe place if they're going to pay money for it. I mean, we wouldn't allow people to sell 2-month-old bacon, right, in the free market. There are laws against that. So that's a legitimate right. It's also a legitimate right for landlords who own the property to have, you know, some respect for their own personal property rights and not to be overly, you know, regulated. So in a case like that, it sounds like it was one side that pretty much got everything they wanted and the others didn't have much. And you realize that. And rather than going with what maybe the initial emotional reaction is of your tribe, you were open to both sides and you came up with something that gives some credence to the values on both sides. And I appreciate that. And I also have to say, I love that comment before when you talked about politics. It arose, yeah, as kind of an alternative to armed combat, right? It's still adversarial or in the sense of being competitive, but it's a much better way than, you know, swords and guns and things like that. But, yeah, the way you described it, I think that's one of the reasons Braver Angels has come about. There's so much of a problem with people in power abusing that power and doing things that really aren't consistent with what most people would consider good moral values. And so we'd need to get back more to that. Although it's very hard to do, as you know, and you admitted yourself that you experienced a little bit of blowback from that. And I think that comes from, you know, the natural reaction of people saying, no, nope, we got to watch out for ourselves. We got to watch out for our tribe. Well, that's okay to a point, but at some point we got to think of what's the higher value. So I appreciate what you're doing there. I wonder if you have any particular concerns of your own about working across differences, either politically or personally, because, you know, not everybody agrees with compromise. They think it has to be kind of a zero-sum game, a win-lose. Do you have any, and there may be some legitimate concerns about this. If you do the kind of thing you did, what are the downsides? What concerns you about that?
So you teed it up perfectly, because that my concern is that, you know, both professionally and personally, is that trying to find the collaboration and the common ground in a bipartisan, you know, there's only two choices that we really have. And so it gets mischaracterized as being for one side or for the other. It just depends on who wants to try to push that narrative. And so, you know, I've been at, by virtue of trying to do what I do, I have been mischaracterized as someone who is only out for one party. And then I've been mischaracterized as, look at that guy over there. He's no better than Antifa, you know, and you know, it is very difficult for the human mind to hold two truths that seem to be in conflict and in paradox together at the same time, to where I can still be 100% the way I am politically, but I'm trying to find the way in which we can mutually solve our problem to the benefit of both, as opposed to man, what's the calculations I can make to get to 50% plus one so I can make the other side do whatever it is that I want to do? And that's where we're kind of at. We're at this, at that point to where everyone is kind of calculating, how do I force my view on everybody else? And so I am guided in this instance. You determine that I read a little bit, but Lincoln said, whereas I would not be a slave, I also would not be a master. So what I try to do is try to use the resources that I'm given by my organization, which is in alignment with what my organization wants and envisions, to give as much freedom to other individuals to live their life, even if it's completely opposite the way I live mine. And that's the trade-off that we have to have in a free society. We have to trust that everyone else is making the best decisions for them. And even if we disagree, we should be reaching out in terms of trying to help them improve their awareness of better modes or ways of living without it being at the point of the political sorts.
Yeah, I think, go ahead.
That's my concerns is in that space, is that it is very difficult to be the peace broker, if one would call it that, or trying to find that common ground and actually move things forward instead of the gridlocks that we have, because it's hard for people to put you either in one tribe or the other. They're always trying to do that.
Yeah, and that's a product of the extreme polarization we have. It's legitimate to have different viewpoints and try to advocate for your side, but when you get to a point of too much polarization, nothing gets done, and you see this, you know, kind of power hungry, and I would consider amoral approach to everything you do. And one of the things that Braver Angels talked about early on in their forming was that we need to reduce the polarization so things get done. And we also need to get people to understand what is happening so that they will vote in a way to reward those who reach across the aisle and do some problem solving and collaboration and vote out the ones who don't follow good values and prevent things from happening.
We have to change the political incentives.
Yeah.
And to do that, I actually have some hope for that, Glenn, because you see the increase of those that are considering themselves independent or non-affiliated with parties. And I think that that will have bleed over in both directions for both parties to where we might start finding some folks who, if we can change those incentives, I think we can start changing out the caliber of our politicians who are open to trying to represent everybody in their district, even if it's, you know, 49%.
Yeah. What a concept. Great, great notions. April?
So I'm curious, Ryan, how you deal with the mischaracterizations, both on a personal and a professional level in terms of the organization you work for, but also personally.
So definitely, I definitely had to develop greater bravery. I have a high level of agreeableness. I want to be liked by as many people as possible. It's just kind of a thing for me. But I also had to realize that there are those times that once I drill down and that someone is in conflict with my base principles, that I have to be okay with that. You know, I have to be okay with that. So I've developed some thicker skin in the course of the coming up on 5 years I've been with AFP to just realize that I can do my work, and those that are not, you know, seeing the value of what I'm attempting to do, maybe at some point in the future they may get it. But I move on to those that are and will, and we just increase our numbers all the time. I was speaking with my team recently. I said, I envision a day in which our campaigns will be more designed around policy and educating the citizens on policies than it would be educating citizens about the positions of politicians. You know, that we're actually out there saying, okay, we advocate for whatever that may be, could be a criminal justice issue, and that we have citizen groups throughout the state that are so connected with their elected officials that it doesn't matter, and that they're so broad-based that it doesn't matter if it's a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent who is representing them. They will have access, and there will be voice that will be taken seriously because these individuals are communicating in an effective way with whoever's in it. And that's the beauty, too, of broad-based coalitions, is there are times to where in my coalition, if I want to get something done, I need my coalition's rapport and connectivity to a politician that may not be open to me if I was just to walk up, but would open up to me if they knew that I was working with someone they trusted, and vice versa. So there are times to where I've put together meetings with politicians or even high-level bureaucracy folks going, hey, I don't understand exactly what my friend here is needing, not my area of expertise, but there is a need. We need to do something about it. Will you listen to their concerns? And there's been some things, and I won't talk about them because they actually have been in the news, positive things that have resulted, not because I made any big deal other than making that connection. Just say, this is a person who I know you don't trust because of their political affiliation, but they know about this problem and they have a solution for it. Will you listen to them and hear them out? And then there were some changes that were made, and people were actually helped in a positive way. And that was non-legislative. You know, that was just people talking to each other. So that's how I do it. I look at the wins. I look at what's working. I get heartened by that. And I believe in the work that I do. And the work that I do is that I win by addition, not attrition. And that's what I do. I try to make friends every day.
Building those networks, building those relationships, so very important. And you know, I often talk about Braver Angels and as an organization as being trying to bridge the political divide one relationship at a time. And I hear you talking about how those relationships have helped to actually build coalitions on important issues. And so I love that. I know that you originally reached out to us because you knew we were connected to Braver Angels. And I don't know that I've heard the story about how you got connected or heard about Braver Angels. I wondered if you could just briefly tell us that story.
So I have a colleague in another state, and we were happened to be chatting, and I was kind of sharing my vision for what I wanted to have happen with my chapter here in Arkansas. And we do call them chapters. And in this, they're like, hey, well, I'm a part of this group in my state called Braver Angels. And here we do these exact same kind of things. And I saw that also, this came up in the conversation at the same time as the George Floyd and setting up the conference on policy that advances equality. And I see usefulness in not just attempting to educate our leaders, but also to give tools to people who are just regular day citizens who want to know how not to hate my neighbor. You know, how do I get those conversations started? How do I bring the volume down? Because we need to change the culture if we want the representation to change and the policy to change. It does really flow with that direction. So when my colleague told me about it, I did a little research into digging around and found Glenn. And then that's how I came to find out about Braver Angels Arkansas.
Great. I know that you participated with us in a Common Ground workshop also about teaching race in the public school systems. And mm-hmm. You've already mentioned that you've been working on some of those issues. I know you did an education summit at the Winthrop Rockefeller Center. I don't know, probably things haven't quite crystallized as to what the action steps are from that yet, but
early days,
and that's, you know, takes time. So what kinds of things give you hope that we can start to communicate effectively and work across our differences to solve problems? And let's start in the state of Arkansas in particular, since that's what this program, you know, is aimed towards at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I point to, and I don't know specifically for Arkansas, but I do know that there are a lot of voters who are moving towards independent and unaffiliated, that they're just feeling really neither side is representing them well. And so I see that as a market signal that there is a change that needs to happen and that people are tired of conflict. The world itself is already complex and has enough anxiety and has enough chaos in it to where we don't need to have our politics have that just doubled down on. So I think people are looking for other options. And that gives me some hope. The work that we're seeing done in Arkansas with groups coming together, and it's not just me anymore. You know, there are other center right folks who are now coming with me and sitting down and becoming friends and creating their own relationships, and things are kind of, you know, taking its natural course to where now they're seen as collaborators on things and they're not in conflict with each other. And I like when my friends become friends with my friends. And so that's a positive thing. We're working on policy for 2023 and beyond in some cases. And already our coalitions are forming around this from various areas. What I've started using as a number one key indicator for me that this is something I need to work on is, can I find broad-based interest in this? And so I talked to my friends on the left side of the spectrum, my friends on the right side of the spectrum. And then if I start seeing that this is coming together, that's how I evaluate that I'm going to need to move forward on it. And I'm finding more of those opportunities that will arise. So that's a heartful thing where you there is the project that we're working on. It's called AR Creed, Arkansas Racial Equity in Education. And this was a collaboration with the Clinton School of Public Service, Americans for Prosperity Foundation, Just Communities of Arkansas coming to the table, the Hispanic Women of Arkansas's organization, and just a dialogue on race and how it applies to education in terms of curriculum, and also talking about the disparities in outcomes for our minority children. And we're having this designed to be a dialogue with leaders, and we're having leaders from across the state start coming together and saying, okay, I'm interested in sitting down and talking about this and getting through that groan zone to actually let the emotions wash over them and then hear that, wow, there is actually a real problem here. And even from my principles, I may be able to help solve a piece of this problem in a way that I agree with. And that's what I'm getting very heartful about. The Rockefeller Institute, again, on education, that's covering everything in education. They do a great job with the Rockefeller Institute's collaborative dialogues up there. And I found so much help. I learned so much from them when I went through on criminal justice, a group that I'm still a part of, IR3, incarceration, recidivism, reentry, and reunification, that I wanted to do that for education in our state because we need to do something to improve education. So we're bringing everybody together and getting them all in the same room. And it gets a little interesting and the temperature goes up at times, but it's worth getting through that so that we can at least find that body of policy we can agree on and help each other solve it for the sake of our kids. So there are those that don't get the process. There are, you know, those that don't want to step in the room, and I get it. But have the bravery and the courage to say, look, I'm going to stick with this and try to figure out where that mutual benefit is, and I'm going to lean into that. I've told friends of mine, if we're only aligned 10%, you have 100% of my effort on that 10%, because we can at least get that done. I don't evaluate people based on can they check all the boxes that AFP is working on. We build movements of millions in our country based on the alignments we find across the political spectrums. And great things are happening across the country. There's some really interesting things going on. So I'm hopeful for us, but April.
That's great, because I don't think everybody is. I know that the work that Glenn and I do with Braver Angels, that we see that same kind of hope expressed I love that your reference to the grown zone. Also, I bring that into my classes and talking about, you know, moving from divergent thinking with people who are very different than you to moving to convergent thinking with coming up with policy solutions. And the grown zone is something, you know, who likes discomfort? I don't like discomfort, but that's something that we have to recognize that's going to be there. When we are sitting down and listening to someone who has different perspectives on how the policies and actions should be, we're going to have to sit there and listen and give them time to express their ideas at the same time that we're going to have the right to be able to express ours, but being able to see where is it that we might have common values and, you know, that 10% that we might be able to agree on. I love that. I love that so much. So thank you for sharing that. Glenn, I'll turn it over to you for a question.
Okay. Do you have any specific ideas about how, you know, people who might listen to this podcast, what they could do to kind of help move in the direction we're talking about?
Well, I would say, number one, if you're dissatisfied and you don't see a way, dissatisfied with political discourse in our country, the first thing is, don't contribute to the negative discourse. Just don't. Just I want to also think that I attribute this correctly, but Marcus Aurelius basically said that, you know, he's like, I don't necessarily care if I'm on the side of the winners or the losers, as long as I'm just not on the side of the insane. And you know, I kind of feel that way. There's some days that, that I see, I'm just like, wow, you didn't have to say this. You didn't have to say that. You didn't have to say it this way. You didn't have to take the cheap shot. And this has made it to where, you know, believe it or not, coming from an Irish background, I've got a little bit of a smart aleck tendency, but I have trained that out of me in my personal life and in my professional life. Because I'm not as funny as I think that I am sometimes. And there's been times I've made that tweet going, oh, this is going to be awesome, but it's going to only be awesome to me. And it could harm the ability to have a meaningful relationship with that person in the future. So of what value is that? What did I get out of that? You know, Glenn, you and I could probably have a long conversation about the ego and all the things that I read through Carl Jung about that, you know, feeding the wrong things. So that's a part of my shadow side that I've had to develop out of it or integrate it in a new way, actually, as Jung. So don't contribute. Seek the peace. There's actually a scripture that says that. Psalms 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. So it's not something that's common. Peace is somewhat rare. We're living in one of the most peaceful times, believe it or not, of all of human history. But we do need to pursue it. We have to intentionally make it happen. It's not a natural state for mankind. And then I also say, develop empathy. Don't contribute. Develop some empathy. So, again, I read a lot. I'm informed by the things that I read. So, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, if we could read the secret histories of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostilities. And this one resonates with me because when I started working in the area of criminal justice policy, I had no frame of reference for it. I had never been justice involved. And one day a young lady sat in front of me, she said, Ryan, I'm not a criminal. I'm just a drug addict. And that right there, Glenn and April, changed my perspective on the work that I do in the justice space, because I learned something about her that day, things that she told me about her upbringing that I couldn't even fathom, that I didn't even know really happened in the real world. And so don't contribute, build empathy, get some bravery to really lean in and find the common causes, and then get training. It's a skill. This is a skill that you can develop. So Braver Angels, you have workshops that people can go through to start learning how to communicate their positions and their points of view and to hear to understand other people's points of view and realize that I just have to really get to the point of understanding. I don't have to agree. Being able to understand doesn't mean you have to agree with them. You don't have to change your world even really. You just have to understand and have some good intention towards other individuals. So yeah. Develop those skill sets.
That's good. I appreciate hearing all that. Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts that came to mind when you were talking about that. But one of the first is that it is, as I've said before, that our emotional reaction comes first. That's what our brain wants to do. It's, associated with the survival response. So it's so easy to respond with snark, or hostility or something like that in a disrespectful way. It is much harder to inhibit that impulse and to think about how you're going to respond and to be open. And that's what we're asking people to do. And as my story at the beginning about you, when I first heard from you, exemplifies, there's that tendency is to go in the wrong direction. And people have to recognize that and realize this is a tough fight. It takes determination on your part. It takes some thinking about what your values are and try to aspire to those values and engage in behavior consistent with those values. And as you said, it takes courage, which is kind of interesting because I don't know if you know this, but early on in our Braver Angels history, we started off as Better Angels because it reflected a part of Lincoln's address. And we had to change it, and they changed it to Braver Angels. And that turns out to be a really apropos kind of a way to think about it. Because you're right, it does take courage to talk to people who are all on one side and to even suggest you might listen to the other side. That's tough. I'm also thinking about the other things you said. One of the things that comes to mind is that old Native American story about the wolves, the two wolves that live inside us. One represents the kind of the conflictual, negative and hostile, and the other the positive, peace loving. And the little boy asked the wise Native American, "Which one wins?" He says, "The one you feed." That's just a great story. And then the other part about this that you get at is the thing that Raples mentioned, and we talk about all the time, and that is relationship. If you want to develop some empathy and understanding for someone who's different from you, try to at least give it a shot to develop a relationship. It won't always work, and that's okay. You can back off if they're not open. But if you do that, and there's actually research in a related area, like mental health stigma. People have these bad, distorted ideas that they're terrified of people with mental illness. The research has shown that you can do all the education in the world, it won't matter. What matters is when they know someone who has a mental illness. That relationship, that personal relationship, where they can understand that that person is a human being and not this stereotype. The same thing applies, it seems, in politics too, and that's what we're after. So I guess, I don't know, is there anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap things up, Ryan?
Really, I just love what Braver Angels is doing. I hope to partner even further and enhance our commitment to the same work and to find those junctures where we can start plugging in community groups in with Braver Angels so that your comparative advantage in training this kind of skill set can hopefully start cascading across the state.
We appreciate your saying that, and we appreciate your being here today. It's been a great conversation. April, you want to take us forward?
Thank you so much to our listeners for joining us for this edition of On the Other Hand. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion with Ryan Norris of Americans for Prosperity in Arkansas. This was part two of the two-part series that we had with Ryan. So be sure to go and check out the first part if you haven't heard it already. And you can find that on the Braver Angels Arkansas website at arkansas.braverangels.org. And you can also find details there about upcoming workshops and public programs and other events that Braver Angels is putting on.
And we'd also love to hear from our listeners any feedback you might have for us, what you like about our program, how we might improve, especially ideas for speakers or topics, but really just whatever you want to share with us. Just go to that website page that April mentioned, arkansas.braverangels.org, and then you can email us using the link provided there. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
So tonight, or today, wherever you're listening from, and whenever it is, from your host, April Chatham Carpenter,
and Glenn White,
we hope you have a wonderful day, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.